week, we start a series based on the book, Pray Up Your Life, which has a similar color scheme to the metaphysics book, which is why you thought it was the metaphysics book. This is the Pray Up Your Life by Charlene Manuel. And she is the minister at one of the Unity churches in Miami. And she wrote this book in response to lots of people asking her, well, how do I pray about this? Or what do I pray about that? And also to acknowledge the fact that we all have our own styles and that it's really okay. And there's lots of different ways to pray. And for sometimes you have a specific thing you're trying to accomplish or pray for, and sometimes you're not, and all of those are okay. And so this is a response to that and to give people more ideas, more ways to pray. And she says that she's tried every single thing in this book, and she does it, and she wrote it because it worked for her, and she wanted to share that. And that seemed like a good place to start to me. And while some of you may feel like, you know, prayer practice, I've got this down. I have something that works and fills my needs. And there may be others of you who are going, well, how do I create a prayer practice? What do I do or say? What is a prayer practice? What benefit does this have in my life? And what does it mean to be, quote unquote, prayed up? So as we explore some of the ideas in this book, I encourage you to give them a try. It's just like, it's a lot less scary than trying a new thing on a menu, right? Or jumping off a cliff. I mean, this is easy, right? the only benefit for you, I mean, the only thing that can happen is good stuff, so. We'll be looking at several of the ideas from this book a week, and some will probably click, and you'll go, oh yeah, that's a great idea. But it's also perfectly okay to say, nope, that one's just not my thing. That's all right. Well, that's because we all do it differently. So what does it mean to be prayed up? Well, you could say you're in the flow or feeling connected. Or if you're, you know, an athlete, you may say you're in the zone. Or an artist might be in the zone. Whatever, you're in that space of really making things happen. When I was in college, and I was in 5 performance groups plus 2 voice lessons a week. That's a lot. Because most of those groups had 2 practices a week. So I sang literally from morning until night some days. And I could say that I was in my very best voice at that time because I never really went that long without using it. It was continually being grown and used, and I improved and improved. Now, when I switched from music to theater as my major, I was in less groups. I had to make choices about what I was doing with my schedule and less voice practice. My range didn't get better. It got less use. And I don't have the range that I used to have. That's okay. But it's what I put that energy and focus into growing it, and amazing, great stuff happened. And this same idea approach applies to our prayer life. We can practice each day, and we'll have increasing benefits in our lives, and it will become easier and flow, just like when I was in voice lessons. Or as we become sporadic, the results once also become sporadic. So how do we create or pump up our prayer practice? Well, the first step is to start. That's one of the things that I hope you find helpful with this series is just discovering new ideas or remembering ones that you had forgotten. To begin, decide on a time and a space for your practice. My preferred time is right after I get up in the morning. I sit, I sometimes read the daily word, and I set my meditation alarm. You know, there's all sorts of great apps and things along these days, along with just using a regular timer to help you stay focused, because that way, if you use a timer, then you're not keep going, okay, well, how long has it been? Okay, well, how long is it? Okay. If you have a timer, you just set it, and then you have to sit there until it's, oh, you know, like that's, you know, a discipline you can have with yourself. And then for me, once my timer dings, then I get up and do whatever's next. And recently, I've been adding some yoga to my morning schedule, which is something that was a little more difficult, at least in my mind, was partly what I told myself to do in our old house, because I didn't really have room to set up my yoga mat. Now we have a living room big enough that I can scooch the table out of the way and have plenty of room to do some yoga without always having to dance around furniture. But, you know, if I'd really wanted to make it happen, I could have before. So that was the, you know, how we'd play those games with ourselves. Now, first thing in the morning might not be the right thing for you. That's okay. Some people do it later after they've done. They like to get up and take a shower and do their morning whatevers and do it before they head to work or whatever. Other people like to do it later in the day or before bedtime. The trick is to just make a commitment and do it and have discipline with yourself. Set a timer so you won't get distracted by wondering how long. There's no right way. It's just that finding that consistency. The consistency is what makes it really start to work, along with having patience. Patience, there's that darn patience part. You know, if you are one of the workers in Silent Unity, Unity's 24-hour prayer line, there's a room where there's a prayer vigil happening all the time, and all the names that have been sent from centers all around the world, as well as all the people who call in or write in or email in or whatever, are all in this room for 30 days, and there's someone in there. And the shift change happens every 30 minutes. Somebody comes in, and if you're the person in there, you just go and you sit and you wait until you hear somebody open the door. And then you're like, okay, they open the door. The person comes in, sits down. You get up and you leave. And you don't get to get up or leave. So, like, if you can have that same discipline with yourself, it's like, okay, well, I'm doing my shift in the prayer room, and it's my job to hold the prayer right now. I can't get up and leave because so, you know, it's just kind of having that kind of discipline with yourself and not saying that trying to do 30 minutes of meditation when you're not doing any might be a little extreme. You can start with 3 minutes. Work your way up. So, getting to the book, prayer practice number one. Who's excited? 50 prayer practices. We're not doing all 50 today. Don't worry. And each one of these prayer practices is grounded by a scripture. And so the scripture for prayer practice number one is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the practice is actually, put God first. So, in the beginning, God. God is the fourth word in the way that, at least in English, we usually translate the scriptures. And I believe this is a great reminder to put God first. Now, of course, as Sue was saying, we have been exploring the nature of God in our metaphysics classes and understanding that the word God, for some people, triggers all sorts of things, like a guy in the sky with the wings who makes a list and all of those things. Odd how it sounds so much like Santa Claus, but yeah. And so that's fine for some of you. Spirit, divine mind, wisdom, oneness, universe, whatever word or designation for God or spirit or the force makes you comfortable, that's fine. But putting that awareness of our oneness first. That's what it's about. Because this prayer practice is not about appeasing some God outside of ourselves. It's about bringing that awareness to the presence and the power. And when we do that, that's putting God first, because it's saying anything else that's going on in my life or in the world, you're not first. The awareness of the presence and the power that I am it, that's first. And when we remember that we are that, not less, separate or less, that kind of perspective puts in motion this calming, centering feeling that brings us more into this place of being able to be in a prayer consciousness. So, number one, put God first. Number two, pray and get ready. And the scripture for this is Mark 11:24. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Pray and get ready. Now this is a pet peeve of mine. Because how often have you heard someone praying hard for something, and then as soon as they prayed for it, they turn around and they tell you all the reasons that it's not going to work, and they can't have it, and it hasn't worked in the past. Maybe some of you have heard that happen before. Hopefully none of you have done that before, but it happens. Now, which prayer is actually having the energy put into it? Is the prayer for the outcome you're looking for, or is it the prayer that it's not going to work? Oops. Now, it's true. Some results take many steps. But talking about how they ain't ever going to happen isn't going to help. And more effective is affirming that the next step will come clear at the right time. Too often, we're on step three of whatever it is we're trying to get done. And we're spending a lot of time worrying about step 47 and all the things that come in between, when really all we really need to worry about or wonder about or pray about is step four. That's all we really need to know about. Because the cool thing is when we pray and get ready and open, sometimes the 47 we think we're going to is nowhere near, it's not very good. There's a better 47 if we just open and follow the guidance that we get. Be ready for something better than what you could imagine. So, pray and get ready. A favorite quote of mine from co-founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore, is, get ready for this. You're going to like this. If we pray for rain, we should be sure to have our umbrellas with us. Don't pray for rain and then be unprepared when it comes or curse the rain. When we want a blessing to come into our lives, when we want good to come into our lives, you better be ready for it. You know, and there's, if you get the book, there's a great story, and I'm not going to tell her story, but there's a great story about this. Actually, she's got great stories about a lot of it in there. Anyway, many years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine about how I would like to find someone to share my life with. A pretty common desire for a chick in her 20s at the time. And this friend pointed out that I needed to make room because I often had stuff accumulated on the front seat, passenger seat of my car. So I really didn't have room to have anybody to share my life with. I didn't have room for someone to sit shotgun in my car. And while I didn't find a romantic partner right away, I cleaned out my car. I felt like I had moved one more step to being prepared for that future partner or for whatever adventure might come forward with a friend who might say, hey, you want to go do da-da-da? And I'm like, yeah, let's go. I'm ready. Right? So I made space for the adventure that I wanted. So that's just something to consider. What goals and prayers have you in mind, but either through actions or in your mind, have you added a but? Well, I'm going to do that, but, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, or I want that, but, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, ah, no buts. Prayer practice number three, stay positive. And the Bible quote is from Philippians 4:8. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, staying positive is sometimes easier said than done. Just as in the last topic, it can be all too easy, especially if it's the habit that we have formed over years to talk about how something won't work. But this is, to me, is very much tied in with faith. When we stay positive and have faith that the solution is emerging, it does. It may feel like magic, but it's not. It's the law. This is how it works. A couple years ago, my husband Bill's, one of his coworkers, had her minivan stolen out of her driveway on Christmas Eve night, which they discovered at the wee hours of the morning because they're really late people, and so it was like 3 in the morning. She looked outside and realized her minivan wasn't there. Now, many of the presents for her two kids were in the van because they were heading to grandma's the next morning. Like, all the presents were in the van, including her husband comes, you know, he's just, I mean, they're all, of course, shocked by this. He comes out, he's got a receipt for the KitchenAid mixer that he'd bought her, scraping together the money. She'd wanted it for years and years and years, and guess where it was? In the van. In a moment of clarity, this is pretty amazing, her 8 or 9 year old son, I don't remember how old he was at the time, took this turn of events in stride and seemed to be like, okay, the presents are gone. We're still going to grandma's for Christmas, right? Yep, okay. The police came to say that the van was in a wreck with a taxi and the thief got away, but if they went right now, her husband could go and see if there was anything left in the van. All the presents were gone except the KitchenAid mixer, which he managed to salvage from the van. And of course, she went to social media to say, oh my gosh, can you believe that this happened? She, to vent her frustration. And, you know, she still had the attitude, though, that Christmas was going to be okay. You know, everybody was okay. Everybody was safe. Things were going to be okay. Now, by the end of Christmas Day, this was a little family, this was a Christmas miracle. And I'm not gonna lose it. A friend of a friend who had heard about their situation, you know, social media can do some pretty amazing things, had given this family their spare van that they just kind of kept in case something happened to their van. Another of people they barely knew gave them a van. Other friends dropped what they were doing Christmas morning, went and found presents, bought presents, brought them presents. All of this happened. It was a Christmas miracle. I think that she said they actually ended up doing better off with presents by the time this all happened than they had before. And so what was really great about the story, first of all, you know, having everybody jump in and be part of that answered prayer, but she didn't spend a whole lot of time on the how. She spent more time trusting, knowing that, you know, we're still going to make it to grandma's and we're going to have Christmas at grandma's and it's going to be okay because we have each other and somehow this is all going to work out. And so when we make positive thinking a habit, we become citizens of the realm of possibilities. We condition ourselves to have positive attitudes, and which gives us positive results. It becomes a self-perpetuating cycle. And that, I think, is a cycle you'd much rather be in than the other version. We have negative thoughts. We have negative outcomes, which we think negative thoughts, right? So sometimes it takes a little time to jumpstart yourself out of it, but it works both ways. Whatever we believe becomes. So as you go about your week, here's some things to consider. I haven't been much, I'm big into homework at the end of the sermon, and I haven't done a whole lot of it because of all the different things we've been doing, but here it comes. So make a dedicated time in your day for a prayer practice. If you took 15 minutes, that's actually only 1% of the minutes you have every day. 1%. Surely your greater good is worth 1% of your day. 15 minutes. put God first, spirit, oneness, whatever you want to call it. When in prayer and meditation time, when making a decision, when going about your daily routine, take a breath, feel and affirm your oneness. Put that first. Pray and get ready. Consider what you'd like to bring into your life or release from your life. You can pray for both of those things. Take action. Clear away anything that's going to get in your way or running counter for your desired outcome. Pray and get ready. And adopt a positive attitude. Trust that there is a positive outcome and then work towards it, continuing to focus on the positive outcome that you're looking for. Get clear out anything that's not working and keep making it happen. So in our new year, we are going to go out and go forth and pray up our lives. Amen.